before we get going on this week's podcast, I want to take a moment to tell you about something exciting for high school sports fans across the country. SB Live Sports has launched a free iPhone and Android app featuring the latest California high school sports news, scores, videos, polls, photos, podcasts, player rankings, and much more. With the SB Live Sports app, it is now even easier to follow your favorite team with real-time scores and news alerts, as well as video highlights, podcasts, photo galleries, rankings, game coverage, and much more. The app delivers all the content you want in one convenient place. The SB Live Sports app features exclusive content from on-the-ground reporters across the country, and it's your number one source for California high school sports fans, with coverage from reporters Lance Smith, Bodie DeSilva, and me, Connor Morissette. The SB Live Sports app is available at no charge in the Apple App Store and Google Play Store. Download it today. Welcome to the SB Live California podcast. I'm your host, Connor Morissette, alongside Bodie DeSilva this week, our reporter down in San Diego. Bodie, like we do every week, let's start with what we learned from the past weekend, and then a little bit later we'll get into the games we're going to be going to this week. Also, in the middle this week, I'd like to hit on the open division teams you think will be in that tournament for San Diego football at the end of the year, and I'll hit on the Southern Section Division I teams. Could also briefly hit on the LA City teams, because that's looking like an interesting bracket right now as well. But where were you, Bodie, this past weekend, and what did you learn?
Yeah, I was at a big Avocado League matchup between Carlsbad and Mission Hills. It's always, for the past couple seasons, they've always been atop that league. So whenever they get together, you know it's going to be a tightly contested battle. And it was once again. Carlsbad jumped out early with two early touchdowns. And then some really bad news for Mission Hills. The second play of the second quarter, their quarterback Gunnar Hensley was sacked, and while he was going down, got his leg caught underneath, and a really tough leg injury for him there, and had to be carted off and ultimately put in an ambulance, and sounds like a couple breaks in his leg. So a really unfortunate way for him to end his senior season early there, and had such a good spring season and carried it over, and just for a guy that was looking for a spot to play at the next level. And just for Mission Hills, a team that is in the top 10, they continue to be there. But luckily for them, they'll have the bye week to kind of figure out their offense going forward this week. But on Carlsbad's side, Julian Sand, their sophomore quarterback, just continues to impress. They only threw the ball 20 times. I think going forward, we might see that more. Just he's such a talented passer, and they have receivers for him to throw to. Their offensive line, I was a little surprised, was a little smaller than I thought. So maybe that's part of the reason we could see more passing as we go forward. But they've also got some talented running backs, and defensively, a bunch of guys that play both ways too. So they look like they're the top of the Avocado League. They have their bye this week, but there'll be challenges as they go on, because it's just because they got past Mission Hills. They've got Torrey Pines and El Camino, some teams that will be looking to take them down in these next few weeks.
Two questions for you. First, Julian Sand, you sent me for our top play video a beautiful throw he had for one of those touchdowns. I know he's one of the top guys in the country in that 2024 class. What have you made of his sophomore season so far? Because he was a guy who blew up in the offseason with all these offers. To you, is he backing up all those offers with good play?
Yeah, he really is. And I think what's so impressive, and I saw Carlsbad twice in the spring. Well, his older brother, Aiden, was their starting quarterback, who's now at Penn. And Julian got some reps. He did, in the final game of the season, throw his first career touchdown pass. But for a guy that really had such few varsity reps to step in, it just shows kind of all the hype that's been around him here for a couple years. And a guy that's been able to step in against a certainly solid schedule and just look like he's the next man up. And especially for how much he can grow these next 2 years, is seeing him in practice earlier in the season and now in games, his accuracy, I think, is really what is going to set him apart. So many guys have a big arm or have the ability to run. I just think going forward, that where he can put the ball on the receiver every time, is what's going to make him such a good quarterback. And not just now, but when he gets to the collegiate level and possibly beyond.
Certainly. And I know you've been hearing it from some Lincoln fans who are asking, why is Carlsbad still two when both of those teams, Carlsbad and Lincoln, have played Mission Hills? Lincoln beat them by a few more points. The way you explained it to me was you see it as a toss-up, correct?
Yeah. I mean, it really is a toss-up. I've kept Carlsbad there. Really, the fact that they started the season there for me. They've been undefeated now through their first five games. I just felt there's no reason for me to move Carlsbad down. Sure, could they have beaten Mission Hills by more than what it ended up being, 13-7? Absolutely. But I think there's just some extra. Gunnar Hensley going down for Mission Hills, he's an ex-Carlsbad quarterback. So there were a lot of kids on the Carlsbad side who were kind of shaken up because that's their friend who had transferred out. And despite being on the other sideline, they still don't want to see him go out. And I was at the Lincoln Mission Hills game too. And Lincoln definitely controlled throughout. It ultimately ended up, I believe, 31-13. So it's not that it was a running clock there. And Lincoln's been super impressive. They've really got playmakers everywhere. They've brought in a new quarterback. They've got such a tough running back in Roderick Robinson. They've got an incredible cornerback duo and just a secondary in general. All four of those guys have offers or are committed now. So hopefully we get that maybe as a semifinal game in the first round of playoffs. So,
and then even though, bonus question for me, even though Cathedral Catholic lost to De La Salle, lost to Corona Centennial, based on conversations I've had with you as well as other people in San Diego, they're still the number one team down there until proven otherwise, right?
Yeah, I mean, in their first five games, they've only played two San Diego opponents. I think week one, they definitely didn't come to play maybe as much against Torrey Pines. They won by two touchdowns, but they turned it over five times. Then when they played Helix, they beat them by 52. And Helix is a team that's right on the border of top 10 and always going to have quality kids. So they took care of Chaminade, which is a team obviously we think decently of among the state. And I can't blame them for they thought they were going to be maybe a little better than what they've ended up. But going to play De La Salle and going to play Centennial, both true road games, I mean, I can't fault them for that when other teams in San Diego, one, wouldn't sign up for that challenge, and two, if they did, it would end up much worse than what it did to Cathedral. So they'll get their chance here as they move into Western League play. I know Saints is a little down. La Jolla has had some injuries at quarterback. Madison is a top 10 team, but then they will get to end the season against Lincoln. So that will be one where whether it's 1-2, 1-3, whatever the rankings end up at the time, that will go a long way to determining how those teams head into playoffs.
Do you know, when was Cathedral Catholic's last loss to a San Diego team? Because they were undefeated in the spring. Did they lose the year before? I know Helix is down now, but they used to be a power.
It would have been the open division semifinal in 2019. They lost at home to Carlsbad, which was a great game. Cathedral tied it late. And ended up such a weird play. They faked the extra point to tie the game. And I'm still have not gotten a clear answer whether it was called that way or a bad snap, but Carlsbad escaped with the 1-point victory that night. So that would have been their last loss and potentially a game we can see again here in a couple months.
Awesome. Thank you for that breakdown. I was at Alemany, a team in the San Fernando Valley. They lost to Mission Viejo 30-7. And this was a classic case of one team ranked higher, Alemany, better players on paper, Alemany, but then Mission Viejo just coming up and really just giving them the business, winning 30-7. Alemany was sort of all over the place. I know Casey Clausen, their coach, really has been frustrated with his quarterbacks, Dylan Jebbia, a senior, Anthony Wolter, a sophomore. Both are pretty good, but they've had up and down years, and he wants more consistent play, and he didn't get that against Mission Viejo. And I've talked about Mission Viejo before on this podcast because I saw them beat Long Beach Poly earlier in the year, so it's a lot of the same stuff. But I think just for Alemany, they're 1-3, and they had a moral victory against St. John Bosco defensively, winning or losing 24-3, but St. John Bosco has put up more points against every other team they've played. So holding Bosco to that kind of a score was impressive. But they have USC commits on offense. They have two great running backs. And so I was just expecting a little bit more from them. I think one of my takeaways from Alamany losing to Mission Viejo, it looks like Chaminade now is the clear favorite in the Mission League. So that's something that I wanted to bring up. And then also for Mission Viejo, and this is a nice segue into what we're going to talk about next, they keep winning, even though they don't really have those college recruit big-time players on their team. And they could, a team with a bunch of just hard workers, could play their way into the Division I playoffs in the Southern section, which would be a really big achievement for them. But then on the flip side, and we've had this discussion before, you have a great year and your prize is to go on the road in the first round and get beaten pretty bad by one of those Trinity League teams. And Mission Viejo has already played Servite, and they had a tough time with them. But I just quickly saying more about the Diablos, their defense, Chad Johnson, their coach, he called them a no-name defense. We have a bunch of no-name guys who work really hard and are just good football players. And I think on that side of the ball, it's true. They really don't have any Division I guys at all, but they're a well-oiled machine. And against teams of similar competition, like in Alamany, like a Long Beach Poly, they've shown that they're really, really talented and they can play. Ruben Lopez is the only returning starter for them, and 11 new guys have come in and just looked really, really good. So they deserve a lot of credit. And right now I have them in the Southern Section rankings at number 9. I still think if Los Alamitos, who's kind of trending down a little bit after barely beating Buchanan and then losing to Santa Margarita, I in my heart of hearts, I believe, like I just don't see how it would go any other way. Los Alamitos has so much talent on offense that if they played Mission Viejo, I think they'd win. But Mission Viejo has just proven me, or not me, but just people wrong time and time again. I guess me, I've picked against them the last 2 weeks and they've won. So maybe I'm wrong to believe that, but I have Mission Viejo 9 and Los Al 8. So that would be the line where the Division 1 would end at 8 and then 2 would start with 9. So maybe Mission Viejo would want that. But before I give all these teams, that's just what I learned and how I see things. Bodie, so you talked about three teams from San Diego who are pretty clearly going to be in that open division picture, it looks like, with Cathedral Catholic, Lincoln, Carlsbad. Who's number 4 right now, and is there a chance other teams can break into the mix?
Yeah, so the way the divisions are split up, overall, to me, Modern-day Catholic is the next team, but the way they're put into divisions, they are only eligible to play within Division 3 this year. So that's a division that there's really not a clear second-place team. I think it would probably be Mount Carmel, a team who I have just inside the top 10 at number 9, and we'll get the chance to see for the first time on Friday. But beyond that, I would say it's got to be Torrey Pines. That's a team that's moved up ever since their loss to Cathedral. They've gotten 3 straight wins. They've looked impressive. A junior quarterback and 3 really good junior running backs have kind of led the offensive attack. Last week put up 42 against Oceanside. And it's not that they're winning games low scoring. I think the defense will come around. They've got Zach Rowell, a Stanford commit there. There's some talented players on defense, but offensively it's kind of surprised me how well they've picked up with. And I think guys that probably got some valuable reps in the spring season. So they've looked really good there. Beyond that, it's tough looking down. I mean, whether it's an Eastlake team, El Camino, teams that have kind of been a little inconsistent, whether it's offensively, defensively. El Camino's already had 2 weeks off, and I know with the different testing, it's been frustrating of trying to get in a rhythm and play games consistently. But as you go down Division I, whether it's a team like Madison who steps up and they've got some difficult league games when they've got Cathedral and Lincoln coming up, there's not a clear answer. I think that 4 spot's definitely wide open. And right now I would have Torrey Pines as the front runner, but a week from now they'll be getting ready to play Carlsbad. So that'll go a long way in determining, is Carlsbad clearly there? Can Torrey Pines grab that game? And maybe they both end up in the open division there. And I think at this point, everyone would like to avoid that 4 spot because that probably means playing Cathedral in the first round. So it's definitely wide open, and I think it's up for the taking, but as of right now, it looks like Torrey Pines would be the lead team for that.
When did San Diego move to a 4-team open division? How new is that?
Yeah, so I'd have to look exactly. I believe this would be year 4 of it. I don't think it's anything beyond that, because they started the open division, I believe, in 2013, where it was always 8 teams. And looking back, there was just so little competition from the 5 through 8 seeds. Now, sometimes the 5 would make it close with the 4, but rarely was the 8 or the 7 ever competitive in those games, let alone winning. So I think they decided, let's go to 4. We'll do one less playoff week and let the rest of those teams battle out there in Division I. Some years, I think it sets up better for 8. A year like this year, where we don't even know who the 4 would be, I think it definitely sets up better where there's no point in making those 1 and 2 seeds play an extra game against 7 and 8 when those 7 and 8 seeds should be able to be in a lower division and possibly competing for a CIF title, maybe even with a first round bye in those divisions. So it's a couple years old, but overall, I'm for it. There's some years where it doesn't work as great, but this year it definitely sets up better for only 4.
The Southern section moved from 16 to 8 a year before the pandemic. So we've only had 1 year of that. So I don't think we'll see a change to 4 anytime soon. Although I think that's probably in the best interest of the section. But I think they'd get some serious pushback because Modern Day already can't find games to play in the non-league, and that would take another game away from them potentially. Very interesting to see how that works. But just to your point about the 4-5 when they were 8, the one time there was the 8-team playoff in Division I, it was a classic, the 4-5 game. Servite went on the road to Mission Viejo and won. Mission Viejo hosted Servite and won. It was like 42-35. It was a great game. And so maybe that'll get like the section. That's evidence for the section to say, look, we know 8-1, 7-2 wasn't that close, but we had a great 4-5. So would whoever 5 would be easily go on to win Division 2, maybe. But just for me, looking at how the Southern section stacks up this year, it's so clearly 4 teams, I think. And I'm not as big a believer in Corona Centennial as some people. I wouldn't be shocked if Norco beat them in their league game. But to me, it's the 3 Trinity League teams, Modern Day, Bosco, Servite, 1, 2, 3. Then I have Corona Centennial, 4. And I think those teams are locks. I think even if Corona Centennial loses to Norco in their league, they still have a non-league win against Sierra Canyon and that win against Cathedral Catholic. Not that that matters much in the Southern section, but that's still a good team. And so I think they're a lock. Norco, who plays Sierra Canyon on Friday this week in a game that just came together in the last few days, if they win that, I think they'll be the 5th lock. So I have them. I'd be surprised if they didn't get in. Even if they lose to Sierra Canyon close, I think they could get in. If they lose to Sierra Canyon and Corona Centennial, we'll see. But right now, I think that win against Santa Margarita that Norco had is huge. And then it gets interesting. I think I have Santa Margarita at 6 after they just beat Los Alamitos. And Orange Lutheran, I have at 10. I'll kind of mess up the countdown there just to say that whoever finishes 4th in the Trinity League will get in. So if Orange Lutheran beats Santa Margarita in the Trinity League, even though we have Olu at 10 right now and Santa Margarita at 6, I think you'd swap them out and Orange Lutheran would get in. So we could even see 5 from the Trinity League. That's how crazy it is. But I do think it'll end up just being 4, and I think Santa Margarita will be that team. Then I think Sierra Canyon will be 7. I think that they'll beat Mission Viejo, but like I said earlier, I've been picking wrong with Mission Viejo all year. But I think that they'll win that game and in a couple weeks, and that will solidify them in the top 8. They've lost to Servite. They've lost to Corona Centennial. Both games, they were pretty close at halftime and then had trouble in the third quarter. So they've shown that they can at least compete with those teams. So I think they're going to be in when it's all said and done. And then that last spot, I still have Los Alamitos because I just see all their talent on offense. I think it has to be them. But they're no guarantee to win their league after losing to Santa Margarita. Edison looks great. Corona Del Mar, I think, won't have enough, but they're a good team. So Los Alamitos has to win out to get into that 8 spot, which, again, you don't really want to be in the 8 spot, but that's just how I see it. Could be Mission Viejo's, though, or could be Orange Lutheran's. I don't see anyone outside of those 10 making it in. Do you think San Diego, Bodie, will ever do what the Southern section does and to avoid this Modern-day Catholic situation and put everyone in the division at the end of the year? So that way, if Modern-day Catholic, who should be a Division III team in most years, has a great year, they'd be in that top 4. I know there's a lot of pros and cons, but I will say I kind of like it.
I definitely haven't heard of talk of that. I don't think it's a terrible idea because just looking through the divisions so far this year, a team that I have, I believe at number seven this week, Scripps Ranch, weren't really on my radar before the season. And they've come out, been undefeated. And they're a team that's stuck in Division Two because of how the placement works. So between them and Mater Dei, you've got two of the top seven teams there in the county that aren't eligible to not only play open division, but play even in Division One where they could certainly compete. So it's not a bad idea to rank it that way. It would be interesting to hear from the commissioners and the higher ups for what the reasoning would be for whether it's a public school that went 0-10. Do you want them playing with a private school down in Division Five that they would just crush because they've got better numbers on the team overall? And it is tough because you're never going to make every division as happy and as equal as you may want it to be. But I would love to see a modern day Catholic that has several Division One players, several Power Five Division One players, get their chance to go and compete because they've already lost games this year due to COVID that they would have loved to have played. And then when they have weeks open to try and schedule others, it doesn't always work with those other teams of trying to come together and play those games. So it would be great to have a playoff matchup where neither team can kind of decide to get their way out of it or whatever the case may be, because you just want to see the most talented teams playing each other. And with them in Division Three, there's just looks like there'd be very little pushback, and somewhat similar to Scripps Ranch in Division Two. There's some teams that I think can give them a good game, but when you just look through it, those are two teams that maybe not should be an open division, but absolutely should be in the top half of Division One competing with some of those teams. So I'm definitely not against it, just have not heard anything of it. And for years, it was always the enrollment-based process. So at least it's a little different now, going back of how well your team did in those past three seasons. But I don't see anything really changing in the immediate future.
Got it. Where are you going to be this weekend? I know the games aren't great around the state, but have you narrowed down your choice yet?
Yeah, so there's a lot of bye weeks, and a lot of the top teams are playing maybe an easier team right before they start league play. So I'm going to be at Mount Carmel. I've ranked them in the top 10 a couple weeks now. They're number nine. They've been undefeated. It's been a program that has had some success in the past, but really for the last, I don't know, 5 to 7 years have been somewhat down. They brought in a new coach this year and Drew Westling after their previous coach had finally retired and stepped away, longtime teacher there. And he's done a great job, has a great staff around him. And they've got a player, Jaden Virgin, that I think is really underrated. If he were at a Cathedral, at a Helix, at a Carlsbad, we might hear a little bit more from a guy that can dominate on both sides of the ball. He's an excellent linebacker, kind of a hybrid receiver tight end that really broke out during the spring season. And Boise State, who recruits San Diego so well, came down and was able to get his commitment. And he just continues to impress every week, is always good for a couple sacks and good for 5 or 6 catches. And just a tough player that I think will be big for them when they move into the Division III playoffs, whether or not they can take down a team like Mater Dei, who knows. But they'll be playing Rancho Buena Vista this week, who's another team that's been down for quite some time, but they've gotten off to a really good start. And I believe they're 4-1 now. And Mount Carmel enters the game. They haven't given up a point in 9 weeks. So really good non-conference battle between two teams that kind of off the radar most years, but looking forward to this one.
Yeah, for me, I'm going to a game I'm really excited about because it's two teams I don't see as much, and it's going to be a new rivalry going forward. I mean, it was an old rivalry for a while. The team stopped playing, and now both are pretty good. It's Damien at Bishop Amat. It's a big private school showdown in the San Gabriel Valley. Speaking with both coaches, when we did our previews, they just said how they want this game on the schedule. It's a very important game for that area, and here's why it wasn't played recently. Bishop Amat used to be so good. Damien wasn't very good. Now Damien has closed the gap. Bishop Amat's taken a little bit of a step back from where they were. And so these two teams are neck and neck. And I think it's going to be a game that gets scheduled in the non-league for years to come now. I want to pull up
my football previews. I think I X'd out of them, but I'll give the synopsis about what the coaches said. Damian coach Matt Bechtel, he said, "We want to beat the hell out of everyone we play, but I won't lie, this game is a little bit special because they're middle school kids who are going to be watching this, and it's a recruiting game. It's we see all these middle school kids in this neck of the woods. Both schools pull from very similar regions, and whoever wins, and if one team wins by a few scores, maybe a good eighth grade kid will say, hey, I'm going to go to that school instead of that school." So he had that to say. And then the Bishop of Mott coach, Steve Haggerty, talked about how this was a good game for the region as well. And he was a little bit more coach speak about it and said, you know, we are excited about this game, but we're excited about every game. We want to win the week, 1-0, all that stuff. He also mentioned, too, how he thought Damian was doing a little bit more talking than his side, so that was funny. But the talk ends Friday, and I'm really excited for that. I have Bishop of Mott by a field goal. I didn't love how Damian shot itself in the foot against Loyola. They should have beaten Loyola, but they had a million penalties. That was a few weeks ago. But then they also played Oaks Christian pretty tight, and Oaks Christian's 0-5. So I like what Damian's doing. I think they are a good team, but Bishop of Mott is at home. It's a game that if they lose, that's a bad look because just on paper, losing to Damian, I know Damian's on the rise, but Bishop of Mott doesn't lose to Damian. And I think that's going to really mean something this week. It's a reputation game, and I think, not that Damian doesn't understand that, but I think it just will mean so much to Bishop of Mott that they'll have so much to lose if they do drop this game that I do think the kids understand the pressure, the staff understands the pressure, and I like Bishop of Mott. I think Delano Franklin, their great wide receiver, will have a good game. The other game I want to quickly touch on, Norco, like I said earlier, is going to Sierra Canyon. Norco had some trouble with Murrieta Valley's passing offense last week. They won 35-34. Murrieta Valley scored, but then didn't get the two-point conversion needed to win the game, so Norco hung on. I see Norco beating Sierra Canyon because I don't think Sierra Canyon has the passing attack needed to keep up with Kyle Crum and that great Norco passing attack. Sierra Canyon has a great defense. I think Norco's defense is solid. It got exposed a little bit against the pass last week. But Murrieta Valley, they have Utah commit Brandon Rose at quarterback. They have some great receivers. Sierra Canyon, their quarterback situation is a little bit questionable. Daniel Duran is good, but he struggled against some of these bigger teams. And I envision that happening again a little bit. I just think Norco will put up more points, so I'm taking them. But a huge game with Division I implications. So that is a game that excites me. But just in sum, got Bishop of Mott, got Norco this week, and should be a great game. Any other predictions you're dying to make, Bodie?
Yeah, there's not too many other games this week. The only other one I really have circled there is Eastlake and El Camino, two teams that have both been in and out of the top 10 for me down here this season. When they played at El Camino a couple of years ago, there was unfortunately a huge brawl that ended that one. And I hope both teams have cooler heads when they take on this week. But I really think that one's going to be a defensive battle. Two teams that probably don't sneak into the open division. They're both eligible, but I would expect both of them to be high atop the Division I seedings when those come out. But I want to see both of them kind of improve offensively. I know they can really hang defensively, but so far their offensive numbers haven't been great. And I know in El Camino's case, they've only gotten in three games. They've had some COVID shutdown, and I know they weren't at full strength when they played Grossmont. So it's tough, but you got to play with who you have this year. Not everything's going to be as fair and equal as you want. We're glad to have them back out on the field, and that should be good non-conference one to end their play before they move back into their leagues for the rest of the season.
Great. And then looking ahead to the week after this upcoming one, it's a huge slate. We got Monterey Day Bosco, oh, yeah. And then I know in San Diego there are big games, but even Warren is going to play Dominguez, who's undefeated, up north, Bishop Diego and St. Bonaventure. It's a weekend where you think, oh, man, if one of those games was this week on a Thursday or a Saturday or something, or even on a Friday, maybe I wouldn't be going to Damian Bishop of Mott. But I am really excited about that game. So I don't want to take anything away from Damian Bishop of Mott because I do think that's going to be a really exciting game. The problem is there just aren't that many this week. So look out for October 1. That's going to be a major week. Great. Well, we'll sign off there. For Bodie DeSilva, I'm Connor Morissette. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.